Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. As usual, I am your host, Cody. And today we're going to continue our talk about the ultimate Marvel universe. Sorry, I was reading a text message that made me giggle. So last week I talked about the Ultimates, which is the Marvel Ultimate Universe's version of the Avengers, Cap, Iron Man, at times Wolverine, Spider-Man, all the, you know, fun ones, Thor, Storm's in there. Anyways, and I can't remember which one I was going to talk about next, so I decided to read up on, reread Ultimate Iron Man, which I forgot was two different variations, and one is the one featured in the Ultimates. The other one is retconned by Mark Miller later on. So I'll go over both briefly and then what the similarities are and what the differences are. So the original Ultimate Iron Man was written by Orson Scott Card. For the people who don't know who Orson Scott Card is, he is most famous for writing a book series called Ender's Game. He is also slightly not well liked because of his views on certain things, but you know, whatever. I don't really know too much about it. Otherwise, the fact that like he's, I think, anti-religious or something. I can't remember what it was, but he is definitely well known for the Ender's Game series, which was later turned into a movie, which I thought was actually pretty fantastic. I think Ender's Game series has like, I don't know, so many books in it. Doesn't really matter, but that's Orson Scott Card. And then it was drawn by two people. You had Andy Kubert and Mark Bagley, both excellent artists. Both have worked on the book. In Orson Scott Card's variation of the Ultimate Iron Man, he drastically rewrote his origin, but still kept a lot of the detail, like kind of the failings and the character flaws that Tony has. He kept a lot of those in there, added some of his own other ones. He added some because we get to see Tony as a young man, like as a child, as well as a young man. So he adds a little more to it, but he does make Tony a little more, closer to the Ultimate Marvel, the cinematic universe, versus the original Iron Man run that you get in the main continuity of Marvel Comics. So in this one, he is actually the son of Howard Stark's second wife, Maria Carrera, and his name is actually Antonio Stark, but Tony for short, where I believe in the cinematic universe as well as the Marvel continuity, his actual name is Anthony Stark. But I don't know about... I don't know about the other run, which I don't know if they actually specify his name or not. Anyways, the big change between this version of Iron Man and Tony Stark versus the normal, I guess you could say, the one from the cinematic universe as well as the one for regular Marvel comics, is that he is genetically mutated human being. So basically you find out about him is during his mom's pregnancy, there was an accident that caused his genes to mutate, and it basically change the genetic structure of both him and her, or of her and her unborn child. She dies during childbirth. The child, named Antonio, Tony for short, developed neural tissue normally found only in the brain all throughout his body, causing him his entire body to act as one massive brain, giving him tremendous mental capacity. A couple flaws of this is, one is his skin acts like the membrane of a brain and is very, very sensitive to almost any physical or kinetic reaction to kinetic like blowing wind or physical touch. It's crippling, and it feels like wind blown on his skin feels like a severe burn to him. So his father, Howard, who is a CEO of his own billion-dollar company, designs a biomechanical armor that will basically coat his body, buffering him from basically the disability of his skin being touched by anything and everything, sunlight, wind, other people, clothes, for example. So there's a couple drawbacks to this. Physical drawbacks, and one random one. So the first one is that it is easily dissolvable. We can dissolve it with an antibacterial soap and water. I should mention the liquid he puts on the biomechanical armor, as it said, is a I know it's in here somewhere. Invented a liquid biological armor to ease Tony's agony, allowing him to interact with the world normally, but only he would have to wear for the rest of his life. So he'd have to wear it forever because he's never going to have that. The other drawback to the material, the biological armor, is. The biotechnology armor that he wears is constructed of a genetically modified bacteria that is able to group together to dissipate kinetic energy when impacted upon, allowing the wearer to withstand tremendous blows, and is able to dissolve with any metal that can be oxidized. So that's iron and all that stuff. Anything can be oxidized. Steel, blah, blah, blah. The disadvantages again, the biotech armor can be neutralized by washing off with antibacterial soap and water, and obviously that's pretty terrible because it's pretty easy to do. The other drawback to it is that it'll dissolve a normal human skin after a few hours if not thoroughly washed off. This side effect's actually not that bad, because one of the abilities that the genetic mutation that his body has is his skin. He can regrow any part of his body, and including his skin, very rapidly. So if he loses an arm, he can technically grow an arm back later, and they'll tell you he loses some toes and he grows them back. So this actually works actually pretty well, because his skin can regrow faster than what the armor can actually eat away. So it actually works out really well. The real drawback is the fact that it gives his skin a bright blue hue, making it very impossible for him to go out to be in social situations and attend a normal school. So later on, Tony and his dad develop a new version of it that is a clear version of it, allows him to actually go about and live a normal-ish life, and he goes to ends up going to a private school, where he ends up meeting Rhodey, and he meets Obadiah Stain, who is Zebediah Stain's son, with Tony or Howard Stark's first ex-wife, Lonnie, and so they actually end up in school together, which is pretty, I mean, pretty ridiculous. But, you know, it's kind of how they work with this. He designs the suits by himself, trying to be much like his dad. At one point, his dad is framed for murder. He's going to go to jail, and bad things happen. Tony designs two prototype suits. One is roughly 6 feet tall, and the other one is a 20-foot tall version. They don't have the ability to fly. They can jump and hover. And then later iterations, he includes the ability to fly. But that's for the most part that version of it. This origin was later used in the cartoon, if you guys ever watched the cartoon, the animated series, Iron Man Armored Adventures. This version of Iron Man is that one. So if you've watched that, you're like, well, it sounds familiar. That's actually, they use this as the, essentially the origin for that comic or for that cartoon. So the next iteration, just known as Ultimate Comics Iron Man, was a 4-issue miniseries written by the first one called Ultimate Comics Iron Man was written by Nathan Edmonton. And the artist was Matteo Bufani, I think is how you call it, you say his last name. I'm not too sure. I don't actually know any of his work other than the Ultimate Comics Iron Man. And this one was pretty cool. It was the it came out after Mark Miller's retcon of the Orson Scott Card series. And, of course, was later used for the origin of the anime cartoon. If you go through and read the other versions of him, he's going to be a different... He doesn't have the... His brain isn't... all of his muscles aren't brain things. He does have regenerative powers, though. They kept that for some strange reason, if I remember correctly. But, so they wrote... They did that one. What's cool about this one is, in that run... Nathan Edmondson's run is he created the ultimate version of the Mandarin, which instead of being a single person is actually an international group of bad guys, and not like the Sinister Six is like a group of bad guys. It's like an organization that is bad people, and they're known as the Mandarin International. So for the folks who don't know who Nathan Edmondson is, he has written quite a few comic books. He wrote a really fun series called The Activity with Mitch Gerrards. I don't know how to say his last name. Who does right now with Tom King? He's done a couple of Batman issues. He's done Mr. Miracle. And they did The Sheriff of Babylon together with Tim King and Mitch. But The Activity is a really fun book based on Edmondson. I cannot say his last name. Edmondson. Where is it? There he goes. Stupid clicking buttons. The Activity is a United States Army intelligence support activity, or known as The Activity. They are essentially black ops and deep ops operatives. They use a very high tech technology and things like, I don't know, actually I shouldn't say black ops. They're not black ops. They're definitely the kind of like on the ground, in and out without being seen type of people. Anyhow, so it's a really fun book if you like those things. Very similar to like a Mission Impossible type thing, but a little more realistic. There's three volumes that I'll talk about sometime, but that's the activity. But he's done that. He did another really fun one called Who is Jake Ellis? That was all for Image. He's done a few things for DC Comics. He did a fun, he did an issue of, or volume. Is it an issue? It's a trade paperback. It's a volume. Yeah. Volume of Batman Black and White, which is a really fun series. But he did a series called The Grifter, for DC. Marvel, he's worked on so many things. Punisher, he said Ultimate Iron Man. He worked on Ultimate Comics, X-Men. He wrote Black Widow. Like I said, The Punisher. He did a really fun, a really good run in Punisher that he did with several different artists. But Mitch would be the main one. He did, let's see, Red Wolf was pretty fun. Deathlok, his version of Deathlok was really fun. He did the Splinter Cell book, comic for Dynamite. And I think that's pretty much it. There's highlights. That's Nathan Edmondson. Edmondson, good lord. And his run of Ultimate Iron Man was closer to the original, like the kind of the normal Marvel universe, but just a little more outlandish. And his suits were more ridiculous, very much like they are in the movies and later on versions of Iron Man in the comic books as well. But after that, another set of miniseries came out. There's two of them. They were written by Warren Ellis. Warren Ellis, I've talked about on here before, I believe. He is an amazing writer. He writes both, he's written for television programs. He's written for video games. He has written countless comic books. He's written novels. I mean, so many things. He is fantastic. His writing is very mature. I'm not saying like, you know, oh, it's sex and things like that. It's just very, very much taking things and making, like, for example, he wrote a short story that was turned into an animated version, an animated movie called G.I. Joe Resolute. It was a series of webisodes that was later released into one big long, I want to say 30-minute long movie. Was there five or six episodes? 11? I can't find where it's at. I should have pulled this up. 11 episodes, roughly about 5 minutes each, about an hour long. But it's not your old school G.I. Joe. Motherfuckers die in this. And it's a pretty cool, like kind of a reimagining of the G.I. Joe mythos and characters and things like that. Yeah, you should check it out. It's pretty awesome. It was Adult Swim, and you could buy it. I'm pretty sure you can probably buy it on iTunes. And I'll look right now as I'm going there, as well as other media outlets of sorts. I cannot work my phone. I got an update, and I think I fucked my phone up. Oh, no. it can't open because the microphone's in front of my face. Wow. Don't mind me. I'm special in all the wrong ways. So where am I looking at this for? iTunes Store. G.I. Joe Resolute. G.I. Joe Resolute. I don't see it there. Oh, maybe you can't watch it. See it on iTunes. That's dumb. Adult Swim doesn't have an app you can watch stuff on because they're getting one in Canada. If you guys know what Adult Swim is, it really makes me mad that it's only going to be in Canada or something like that. It's so dumb. We don't get it. I'm pretty sure you can probably find G.I. Joe Resolute somewhere. to watch. Amazon might have it to buy. More people should have it. I don't want to pull the Wikipedia. I don't even know what Tubi is, but apparently you can watch it on Tubi. Fuck does that mean? What is that? I don't even know what that is. You might be able to watch it on YouTube, actually, to tell you the truth. Oh, Daily Motion has it. YouTube has it by people who probably shouldn't own it. There's a bunch of people talking about it on YouTube. But yeah, if you're a G.I. Joe fan, or if you ever want to check out a more mature adult version of G.I. Joe, G.I. Joe Resolute is your ticket, and it's written by Warren Ellis. Another big animated notch he has in his belt is he's done the Netflix show Castlevania. He wrote that. He's written all 12 episodes, and he's doing season 3 as well. So that's pretty cool. He has video games, his most famous is Dead Space, which he wrote with Rick Remender and Anthony Johnson. That's a really fun one. But he's done for other television stuff. He did a Justice League Unlimited episode. He did a couple episodes of the Tomb Raider. He did the stories for Marvel animated Iron Man, which is not the same one as the one I was mentioning before. This is actual Marvel anime. It's more anime style. He did the Iron Man, the Wolverine, the X-Men, and the Blade version of it. Those are all really fun, by the way. If you've never seen them before, you like anime, they're very much they're still American, but they're done in anime style by anime artists. And I want to say it's for, was it Funimation who made this? No, who made these? Sony is that one? I don't remember who made it. I can't see it on there. I didn't pull it up. But anyways, they're pretty awesome. And what actually led to him making the Castlevania later on down the road, which is, if you haven't watched that, is phenomenal as well in all rights. But yeah, so he did two miniseries in the Ultimate Iron Man. The first one was called Ultimate Human, which is a four-part miniseries that's, you can get in a trade, by the way, called Ultimate Hulk versus Iron Man, Ultimate Human as it's known as. And it is the story of Bruce Banner going to Tony to help him neutralize and essentially eradicate the failed super soldier serum that is what created the Hulk. And then so they they fight the leader, which is the ultimate amalgamation of the original leader and Pete Wisdom, who is another villain from the Marvel Universe, who's, I can't say villain either, like he's been an anti-hero. Anti-hero more than he is a villain, but he's not sometimes a great guy. But yeah, he's in the Ultimate Marvel Universe as basically being the leader. So in this they it's a pretty cool story because at one point the Hulk, basically Tony designs these nanobots that basically eradicate the Hulk genes as they get produced, so they help basically maintain the Hulk from, or stop the Hulk from actually being manifesting through his body, which is a pretty interesting way of doing it. But later has to be neutralized so they don't get killed, and then helps save the day. And then of course he gets away. But that's that first one. And then the second one that he did, called Ultimate Comics Armor Wars, again, continuing with the same Iron Man, this time we get introduced to another. So one of the things I forgot to mention in the Ultimate Comics in general is they have different variations of characters, as well as they have sons and daughters and relatives of famous and well-known Marvel characters, both villains and heroes, that are thrown in to the universe as well. And this is the reason I bring it up is because this has one of them, who is Justine Hammer, who is the daughter of Justin Hammer, who is a in the Ultimate Marvel Universe, is obsessed with superpowers and technology, and ends up making his daughter, giving her superpowers, in the again the in the Ultimate Marvel Universe, but it's like it's actually killing her, and so she goes to Tony to steal something that's going to help her survive, and then he ends up helping her. And then there's a bunch of shit that goes on there, but she is trying to see where I don't see where it's at in here. Anyhow, doesn't matter. I was going to try to read about her abilities, but it doesn't really matter. It's not focus here. Sorry. Anyways, so in the second miniseries, the Armor Wars, Tony is robbed by a high-tech crook named Ghost, or nicknamed Ghost. Ghost has many different iterations. Most recently, a female version of Ghost was featured in the Ant-Man and Wasp movie, and then this one, very similar. It's a technology allows the wearer to phase objects in and out of a space, creating portals to teleport himself as well as objects to any undisclosed area he wants, point A to point B very rapidly, and then doing this, he steals an artifact that is wanted by a group of bad guys, there's a bunch. I don't want to go the whole thing. Just like in the first ones, but they basically this one includes Rhodey's again in this one. There's you meet. I want to say you meet Reed Richards in this as well too. I don't think you meet the rest of the Fantastic Four. Can't remember what else there was in there, but it's really fun too. It's a very interesting story. It's very again, kind of isolated away from everything else in its own little bubble, but still uses the characters that some people know and love to hate and hate to love or something like that, as the regular universe does, but in the Ultimate Universe, so slightly different, skewed things in there. But that's it for Ultimate Iron Man. Next week will be Ultimate Spider-Man, I believe. I might have switched those weeks. I can't remember. I didn't make the list up like I wanted to, because, again, this month was impromptu and not what I wanted it to be. So next week I'll be talking about Ultimate Spider-Man, and that's going to be a whole thing. There's a lot of stuff in that one, too, because there's so much in that one, and it's so good. Yeah, I think that's it for this week's episode. Yeah, right about 30 minutes or so. So, that's it for this week's episode of The Awesome Cody. I have been your host, Cody. And again, we've been talking with the Ultimate Universe from Marvel Comics. And today we'll be talking about Ultimate Iron Man. Next week we will be talking about Ultimate Spider-Man. So tune in next week. Same Ultimate time. I'm sorry, that's dumb. Anyways, as usual, as I sign off this thing off, let's be awesome.